Up until 1991, overseas trusts were hugely popular with wealthy UK individuals, as such vehicles gave them and their families the opportunity to be able to benefit from trusts created offshore with significant CGT advantages. These advantages were removed in the 1998 Finance Act, and pre-1991 golden trusts were thereafter brought within the regime for settlor interested trusts. Therefore, nowadays, where a settlor wants to create a trust for the benefit of themselves and their immediate family, there is no tax advantage in establishing the trust offshore. Indeed, there could be tax disadvantages, as some of the rules for non-resident trusts are stricter than they are for those resident in the UK. Plus, the cost of establishing and thereafter running offshore trusts can be very expensive. There do remain some advantages in creating an offshore trust where either the settlor is non-UK domiciled or the beneficiaries of the trust do not include the settlor or his immediate family. If an offshore trust is to be considered, it should be established in a low-tax jurisdiction such as the Channel Islands, Jersey or Guernsey, the Isle of Man, Gibraltar, Liechtenstein or a Caribbean island state such as the Bahamas, Cayman Islands or British Virgin Islands, all of whom will have professional trust companies willing to host the trust for an appropriate fee. When choosing a jurisdiction, consideration should be given to the level of trustees' fees as well as factors such as time zones for personal contact and travel costs for meetings, etc. For this reason, UK-based taxpayers tend to use the Channel Islands or the Isle of Man, both of which recognise the common law concept of trusts in the same way as English law. The residence of the trustees of a trust is important for income tax and CGT. If the trustees are UK resident, they'll be taxable on their worldwide income and gains. If the trustees are treated as non-UK resident, they will only be taxed on UK income. Non-resident trustees are not generally charged to CGT. However, there are special rules which can attribute gains of non-resident trustees to the settlor or the beneficiaries. This will be discussed in the next lecture. The trustees of a trust are treated as a single person for tax purposes. That person's resident status depends on the resident status of each trustee. A trust will be treated as resident in the UK for income tax and CGT purposes if either all the trustees are UK resident, or at least one trustee is resident in the UK and the settlor was either domiciled or resident or ordinarily resident in the UK at the time when he made the settlement. Therefore, a UK settlor can create an overseas trust simply by appointing trustees who are not resident in the UK. The administration of overseas trusts is dealt with by HMRC Residency in Liverpool. A change in the resident status of a body of trustees is usually caused by a change in the trustees who make up the body. It can also happen where the trustees remain the same, but one of them changes their resident status. For income tax purposes, if the resident status of a body of trustees changes during the tax year, split year treatment is available. Therefore, the trustees will only be liable for income tax on all their worldwide income for the period in which they were actually resident in the UK. The trustees will not be liable for income tax on non-UK income for the period after they became non-resident. For capital gains tax purposes, if trustees are resident for any part of a tax year, gains arising at any time in that tax year are chargeable to UK CGT. Therefore, split-year treatment is not available for CGT. Where the trustees become non-resident during the year, there may be an exit charge for CGT. We'll cover this in the next lecture. We will now look at income tax on non-resident trusts. Foreign income of overseas trusts is not chargeable to UK income tax. Non-resident trusts will therefore only pay tax on their UK source income. Many overseas trusts invest their funds entirely abroad and will therefore not pay UK income tax. Where the trustees have the power to accumulate income or make discretionary payments, UK source income is taxed at the usual discretionary rates of 50% and 42.5% after deducting trust management expenses. there is a £1,000 basic rate band as for UK trusts. Trust management expenses must be apportioned between UK and foreign income. Only expenses relating to UK income are deductible for income tax. Where a beneficiary has a right to the income of the trust, the UK income is charged at the basic rate or dividend rate only. If none of the beneficiaries are ordinarily resident in the UK, the overseas trustees do not pay tax on interest on FOTRA securities, free of tax to residents abroad. These will include UK government stocks. If the settlor retains an interest in an overseas settlement, the trust income arising is taxable as part of the settlor's own personal income in the same way as it is for a UK trust. In general, a settlor will be regarded as having retained an interest in a settlement if the income from the trust property can be paid to the settlor or the settlor's spouse or civil partner. There are special anti-avoidance provisions which apply where settlors transfer assets to non-resident persons, including trusts, which we shall cover later. Turning now to the way that beneficiaries of non-resident trusts are taxed, starting with beneficiaries of discretionary trusts. Non-resident trustees may make a discretionary payment out of trust income to a beneficiary who is resident in the UK. This is treated as untaxed income of the beneficiary. There is no automatic 50% tax credit as there is for UK trusts. It does not matter that the trustees may have suffered tax on the trust income. The payment is not treated as made up from the separate sources of income arising to the trustees. Instead, it is treated as non-savings income and taxed at the non-savings rates, 20%, 40% and 50%. If the beneficiary is resident in the UK but is non-UK domiciled, the trust distribution is treated as foreign income. Therefore, if the beneficiary makes a claim under Section 809B of the Income Tax Act 2007, the trust income is only taxable if it is remitted to the UK. Extra Statutory Concession B18 allows the beneficiary to claim credit for some of the tax suffered by the trustees. The concession only applies if the trustees make annual trust self-assessment returns detailing all sources of trust income and any payments made to the beneficiaries, and the trustees have paid all tax due together with any interest, surcharges and penalties arising, and the trustees keep available any relevant tax certificates for inspection by HMRC. After claiming relief under ESC B18, the beneficiary's tax office will recalculate the self-assessment liability. HMRC residency will not let a beneficiary have a copy of the calculation of the relief due under ESC B18. This is because the calculation may contain details of total trust income and tax and any distributions to other beneficiaries, and the trustees may not wish the beneficiary to have this information. When calculating the credits available, the distribution to the beneficiary is treated as having been made ratably from all sources of income arising to the trustees in the year. Turning now to beneficiaries with an interest in possession. Unless the remittance basis applies, the beneficiaries are chargeable on their share of the trust income as it arises, less a ratable proportion of the trust expenses. This should be certified to them by the trustees on Form R185. If the trust income has suffered tax, these tax credits will be reflected on the R185. If the beneficiary is non-UK domiciled and makes a claim under Section 809B to be a remittance basis user, the trust income is taxed when remitted to the UK. In this instance, the income is treated as non-savings income and taxed at 20%, 40%, or 50%. HMRC has no power to charge UK tax on foreign income received by a non-resident person, for example, a non-resident trust. As such, there is potential for tax to be avoided by a UK individual transferring assets to an overseas trust for the benefit of him or his family. In such cases, the income would therefore arise to the non-resident trustees and no tax could be charged. Therefore, there are anti-avoidance mechanisms in UK tax law for a tax charge to be levied on settlors or beneficiaries instead. Such mechanisms are called the Transfers of Assets Abroad provisions and are found within sections 714 to 751 of the Income Tax Act of 2007. We shall look at two anti-avoidance charges: the charge on transferors, i.e. settlors, under section 720, and the charge on non-transferors, i.e. beneficiaries, under section 731. Starting with the section 720 charge. Under section 720, income tax is charged on income treated as arising to the transferor, i.e. the settlor. The section 720 charge is intended to prevent the avoidance of tax by persons ordinarily resident in the UK by means of relevant transfers. A charge under section 720 arises if the transferor is ordinarily resident in the UK when the income arises. However, there is no requirement for the transferor to have been ordinarily resident in the UK at the time of the transfer. A relevant transfer is a transfer of assets as a result of which income becomes payable to a person abroad. Person abroad means a person who is resident or domiciled outside the UK. Person includes trustees, although in practice the anti-avoidance rules are often applied to transfers to non-resident companies. A gift of assets by a UK individual to a non-resident trust would therefore be a relevant transfer, potentially subject to section 720. A relevant transfer can include assets situated outside the UK. Despite the description, a transfer of assets abroad does not confine itself to transfers of UK assets. A tax charge under section 720 only arises if conditions A and B within section 721 are met. Condition A is that a transferor or his spouse or civil partner must have the power to enjoy the income of a person abroad as a result of the relevant transfer. Power to enjoy means either an ability to benefit from the income or an ability to otherwise control the application of the trust property, for instance, where the non-resident trustees act in accordance with the settlor's wishes without giving independent consideration to the decisions they take, i.e. puppet trustees. Therefore, in simple terms, an individual ordinarily resident in the UK who transfers assets to an overseas trust from which he or his spouse can benefit will be caught by Section 720. The broad effect of Section 720 is to charge the UK settlor to UK tax on the income of the overseas trust. The charge is on an arising basis, irrespective of whether the transferor actually receives any benefit. There is no relief for any trust expenses charged against the trust income. The trust income retains its character in the hands of the settlor. For example, trust dividend income is treated as dividend income received by the settlor and will be charged at the dividend rates in the UK. If a benefit is subsequently received by the settlor, for example, if the settlor receives an income distribution, it is not taxed again. Section 720 therefore operates in a similar way to Section 624 of ITOIA 2005, which imposes a charge on the settlor on trust income where the settlor or spouse is a beneficiary of the trust. Section 624 ITOIA 2005 has no territorial restriction and can apply to both UK and non-UK trusts. Therefore, in theory, where a UK settlor transfers assets to a non-resident trust from which he can benefit, a charge to tax can arise under both sections. There is no order of priority laid down by statute, although practitioners and HMRC seem to agree that Section 624 takes priority. Condition B in Section 721 is that income would be chargeable to income tax if it were the individual's and received by the individual in the UK. In practice, this will always be satisfied. The transferor must be ordinarily resident in the UK when the income arises, and he would therefore be chargeable to tax on the income received by him. There are special rules where the settlor is non-UK domiciled. Individuals liable under Section 720 are required to report the income via their self-assessment returns in the usual way. Section 720 can apply to non-domiciled transferors, providing that they are ordinarily resident in the UK when the income arises. This will broadly be the case if such persons have been, or intend to be, resident in the UK for 3 years or more. Where a non-domiciled transferor is caught by Section 720, the trust income is relevant foreign income. Where a non-domiciled individual has relevant foreign income, that income is only taxed in the hands of the transferor in the UK if the trust income is actually remitted to the UK. This rule only applies if either the individual makes a claim under Section 809B to use the remittance basis, or he is allowed to use the remittance basis automatically. Income charged on a remittance basis is taxed at 20%, 40% or 50%. The dividend rates do not apply. If the transferor is not a remittance basis user, the trust income is taxed on an arising basis. In this case, the dividend rates will apply to trust dividend income. Moving on now to the charge to tax under Section 731. Section 731 imposes a charge on a transfer of assets abroad where a non-transferor receives a benefit. In this case, the liability to UK tax arises to the beneficiary as opposed to the settlor. A Section 731 charge will therefore typically arise where a UK settlor creates a non-resident trust and the settlor is either excluded from benefit or has died. A charge will arise if the following conditions are met. A relevant transfer occurs, an ordinarily resident individual receives a benefit, the benefit is provided out of assets available to the trustees as a result of the transfer, and there is no liability to tax under Section 720. Benefit is not defined, but will include both income and capital distributions, as well as deemed benefits, such as the use of trust assets, for example, occupation of trust property, or low-interest loans. The tax charge arises in the year in which the beneficiary receives the benefit, which is not necessarily the year in which the income arises. There is therefore a cash flow benefit for structures caught by Section 731 rather than Section 720, as no charge will arise unless and until a benefit is paid to the beneficiary.